All right, greetings. Welcome in. It's Bettors Last Stand, show number 116 here on the Watchdog Network. Coming to you from the Pine Room Watchdog Studios, downtown Wheeling on one of the coldest days of the year. It is frigid outside. Hopefully you're staying warm. We're trying to keep you warm by winning some bets here, keeping the heat going here as we push on through another week. It's NFL Conference Championship weekend here. NCAA football in the books. CFP playoff concluded on Monday night with Ohio State taking it down. A lot of listeners on this network probably very happy about that. So congrats to the Buckeye fans out there to celebrate their Big Ten and, well, not Big Ten. Their Big Ten conference back-to-back. I'm sure they're not happy about last year with being Michigan. But so the way I look at it is Michigan's won the national championship 2 years in a row as they took down Ohio State again. So congrats to the Wolverines, too. I know that's not going to make people happy, but a bad loss, and you almost didn't make it in. But nonetheless, Ohio State reigns victorious here in the college football playoff, the 12-team college football playoff, which I think was an absolute failure. I know most people think it was great. I don't. I think the game stunk. It was all favorites, and the games really weren't all that exciting. So to each their own. Some people will enjoy it. Some people won't. Here's Jubb. He forgot his keys. So, Jubb, have a good game.
Good luck in your way.
All right, thank you. Jubb wishing us good luck. He's off to take care of high school basketball action right now on the Watchdog Network. Can hear a game this evening as well on WVLY and WKKX. I believe it's John Marshall taking on Morgantown in boys basketball action. I think Ross and Coach Heinerman. It might be girls. I don't know. I don't have my note by me. But nonetheless, if the game is still on, you will have hoops here on the Watchdog this evening around 7 o'clock Eastern time here on a Friday evening, taking you into your weekend, getting you ready for another big weekend of gambling action. College football, as I said, wrapped up, but we still got plenty of other things going on. College basketball in full swing, NBA, NHL. You got ECHL hockey, the Nailers back in town this weekend over at West Bank Arena starting tonight. So get on over there and support the Nailers. Of course, we got soccer action, which we're going to recap. We got some Champions League games going on right now that we have action on. Golf kicked off yesterday. Well, not kicked off. Teed off yesterday. It was an early start this week because of the NFL, as they don't want to go up against it. And you have the Farmers Insurance Open going on right now. So we posted our picks on that. BLS underscore PRP. You can find out all our picks ahead of time, things that aren't going to make the show or miss the cutoff early in the week that we record this show, taking you into your weekend. Sometimes these events, of course, starting on, we know, Wednesdays and Thursdays and stuff like that. So when our pod releases and our radio show is on Fridays, it doesn't catch those games. So we have them on the X feed, BLS underscore PRP. You can follow all those, put all the picks on there, not just the ones we give on the show. You get added stuff as well. All right, recapping last week, not bad, a little bit better than the week before. We were up 12.45 units, so up over 12 units on the week. College football playoff, we were 5-3. Overall in the bowl games, or if you count bowl games, the playoff games as well, I counted it. Some of them were called bowls, other ones weren't. So 32-31, so that's not getting it done. Not our best effort there. Bowl games, very, very tricky. I feel like in the playoff, we had some bad luck. We might have had the right side a few times. It didn't come out that way, but people get tired of hearing people say that. I don't like to use that term too much, but sometimes it is true. And if you're around this industry enough, you'll realize that it is, you know, it's pretty accurate sometimes. Not all the time, but people sometimes will have the right pick. It just doesn't work out that way. Overs in Ohio State or over in Ohio State cashes for us. We had the Ohio State overs several different ways there. So if you caught those picks on the BLS underscore PRP and some of the other things that we had here on the show last week, you realize we had a decent night. Our player props weren't great. Sides and totals were decent. NFL playoffs were 12-12 now. On a 43-29 run, that's a 60% run for about a month now, since right around Christmas time. So still turning a pretty good percentage. If we're up in the 60s, we'll take that any time. 4-2 on the NFL sides and totals last weekend. Player props, not all that great. Again, we had some Hollywood Brown was a no-show. Trying to think of a couple other ones that we have, but yeah, not our very best effort there, but on the sides and totals, again, 4-2. We'll take that anytime. We're hitting at 60% on our NFL plays over the last month. College hoops, we were 2-3. Not very good on Friday night. I like to give out some Friday night games there. Didn't give any out on Saturday. It was tied up with some stuff, so didn't have plays for Saturday. NHL, 1-3. Boy, we were terrible in those Friday night NHL games. Had a couple first period overs. Like, both games were scoreless at the end of one. Not pretty there. So 1-3 in NHL, but As we talk about the trends in the NHL, that's where you want to be at. You want to be on those trends with the period trends. Those are the strongest markets right now in the NHL as far as data goes and as far as percentage. And these streaks are very, very strong, and we'll continue to highlight those and get to those here momentarily here on the Watchdog Network. Here's your listening to Better's Last Stand, show number 116, coming to you from the Watchdog Pine Room Studios down here in Wheeling on a frigid, frigid afternoon here. College hoops, I said 2-3 last week. Australian Open, right now we're 46-2 so far in our sides and totals in the Australian Open, which is concluding this weekend. Aussie futures right now were 8-8, but we're up 240 on ROI, so plus 240 there with some good plus money prices cashing for us. We got three tickets still alive, including a Arena Sabalenka and Madison Keys 33-1 should they both win in the semifinals. Both of them in the semifinals right now. Both win. We got a 33-1 ticket on that. That would be a mammoth casher for us right there. We're certain to cash one of the tickets because we have Iga Swiatek and the other one against Sabalenka. So if Sabalenka wins, we're guaranteed to have a winner with the predicted outcome, at least the predicted finalists in the Women's Australian Open. Men's Australian Open, we'll get to that in a few minutes. Boy, we got derailed with Medvedev getting beat by this youngster that came out of nowhere from the United States. English Premier League, we've been really hot there. 17-11-1 again since our last show, so pretty good run. We had a real wraparound week last week, so some of those plays were on BLS_PRP. Couldn't have had him here on the show because I still had games that were being played on the day that we were taping the show, and then the teams would play on the weekend. You just don't know how they're gonna end up. It's hard to predict those numbers. Going to be kind of around the same, but personnel is always a key issue there. Right now in the English Premier League, since the Christmas holiday, right around Boxing Day, we are 55-29-2. That's 64%. We're up 43.2 units. And I'm not somebody that gets into these numbers and starts reading them off to you and patting myself on the back, and I say that every week, but the run that I'm on right now in Premier League soccer is really good, and soccer overall, maybe minus the FA Cup, we didn't do very well in those. But Premier League and Champions League right now, it's been a really strong run, and I'm actually shocked how well it's going right now. So we'll keep it going, hopefully. 55-29-2 over the last month, 64%. Again, up 43.2 units. Champions League on Tuesday. Yesterday's plays, when we recorded the show on Wednesday, yesterday's Champions League plays, we have some going on right now as we speak, but we were 8-2 yesterday. So a really, really good start to the Champions League, who is back in action. Match day number 8 next Wednesday is all the teams play. The last match, the last group stage match on Wednesday. So a lot to be decided here in the next week in the Champions League. Golf, we were just 1-5 last week. Ben Griffin, I believe, was our only guy that contended. He was in the top 10. So not a very good display there. Sepp Straka gets the job done, and we'll talk quickly about the Farmers, which is already started. So it's hard for me to give you anything on that, but BLS_PRP can find all that stuff. And again, recapping NFL futures, we were 18-5, 78% on the season. That is really, really good. And again, not trying to pat myself on the back for that, but we'll give ourselves credit when it is warranted, but we're not going to overdo it with you. We're fully transparent on this show. We don't sell our picks or anything like that. Maybe we will someday, but we like to give them out here, and I want people to be a part of trying to win here on Better's Last Stand. As we continue on, let's start off with college basketball just briefly. Teams off the big wins. I mentioned this before. West Virginia, perfect example. They beat Iowa State at home, Jerry West Day, everything perfect for them. Arizona State comes to town on Tuesday night. It's going to be a bad spot for West Virginia. It's going to be one of those spots where they're just not going to be able to be up the way they were for that game for the number two team in the country coming in there on Saturday. They lay an egg. Not only do they not cover the 8.5, 9, whatever you got the number at, they lose the game outright. And it was very early on you saw that they were in a massive big hole right away. They look lethargic. They look just worn out. So, you gotta try to find these spots. So you see a team like West Virginia coming off a massive win like that, and then the other side of things, when you see teams like Tennessee, Alabama, UConn, these teams that are getting upset, you come back and you say, okay, is that going to be a trend? Not very often you're going to see these teams dropping two in a row. You saw a couple of them come through last night with Tennessee and Alabama. UConn getting to OT in their game, but and didn't get covered, of course. But you see teams bounce back off of poor performances when they were the favorite, and you see teams who were the underdog, who max out and upset a team that's probably better than them 9 out of 10 times, come back against that team the following game, assuming that it makes sense. You know, if West Virginia was playing Maryland Eastern Shore, then, you know, maybe you don't do that. But, you know, right now it's conference play. If you see a team coming off of a really big win at home or away, and then, you know, going out on the road, or having a team come to town that's just a mediocre team in the conference, a team that they should probably beat 80% of the time, and they lay an egg. So you got to look for those. I'll have some more college hoops plays up this weekend as we start to focus on that. Now the college basketball winds down. Ohio State again wins it all. Favorites 10-1 straight up, 9-2 ATS, as the overs went 6-5 in the college football playoff. Again, I thought the college football playoff was very underwhelming. I've heard many people, very respected people and guys that I like, who are smart and are really good at following, you know, betting trends and things like that. They thought it was great. There's people out there that thought it was tremendous. I didn't. I thought the games were bad. I thought the form was horrible. The favorites won almost every game. One of the favorites, I was going through these and I said, wait a minute, 10-2 or 10-1 straight up. What was the upset? Where was the one straight up? It was Penn State actually was favored against Notre Dame. They went to the favorite. They were dog for almost a week and a half, and then, or a week, I guess it was about 8 days. The dog the whole time, and then they went to the favorite late against Notre Dame. So that one really isn't indicative of being a true outright underdog. Notre Dame was favored most of the week. So really, in my opinion, it was 11-0 to the favorites straight up, and 10-1 against the spread, as the only true dog that covered, who was a dog from the start, was Arizona State, and they nearly beat Texas. But I think if you played that playoff again 5 times, 10 times, probably Ohio State comes out. If you played it 10 times, Ohio State would have probably won 3 of them. I think maybe Texas would have won 1. I think Georgia might have won 2, maybe 1 or 2. You maybe could have made a case that Penn State could have won 1 or 2. So I think the best team won. Roster-wise, Ohio State was the best team, the way teams were playing at the end of the season, no question about it. I mean, you got to think Oregon gets a better draw. Maybe they get a game under their belt and they're a little bit more ready for Ohio State. That was a definite issue for them, but can't make excuses. Ohio State got the job done. Wasn't very easy. They could have lost to Texas. They could have probably not lost to Notre Dame, but they had a couple of mistakes late to keep the Irish in the game. I still am under the opinion that Notre Dame really didn't belong there. They didn't really show me anything in any of those games. I thought Penn State gave the game away to them. I thought Indiana is just a lousy team. I thought Georgia got absolutely shafted by the officials and had one bad minute of play, which cost them the game. So, again, I'm not trying to hate on Notre Dame, but I just don't see the luster from them. I don't think they'll be back in the title game for quite a long time. I wouldn't expect most of these big blue blood programs to be down for long, and they're probably not going to get, you know, caught overlooking a team like Notre Dame again. So anyway, congrats to the Irish fans. Again, I'm not trying to throw shade on them, but they just didn't impress me at all. I thought their quarterback was terrible. I thought they were just suspect defensively. I know people think they had good numbers, but if you go back and look at their schedule, they didn't play anyone, and losing to Northern Illinois just should have not allowed you to even be in the playoffs. So whatever, somebody had to go there. Ohio State got the job done. They banded together and figured out a way to get by Texas and Notre Dame late. And the Ohio State people got to be happy about that. But another season in the books of college football. Again, I am not a fan of this 12-team playoff. I thought it was pretty lousy and pretty boring and uneventful, and a lot of bad officiating. And, yeah, just overall just kind of a waste of time. I didn't need 12 teams to tell me that Ohio State was the best team. We could have just done it with 4 like we had, or really, we only needed 2. We only really needed 2. I know Ohio State wouldn't have been in it then if it was only 4, which would have been stupid because they actually are better than most of the other teams. Nobody was a standout this year at all. So I think Ohio State proved that they had the best roster. So best roster money can buy, I guess, as Manchester City now maybe goes up 2-0 here against PSG. In a game that I thought PSG maybe would have a little bit more form, but it's raining really hard in Paris and Manchester City. I don't know. They played 5 or 6 really weak teams over the last couple of weeks. People think they're back. Maybe they are. I don't know. PSG not looking good here on Champions League match day 7. All right, moving on. College football in the books. We'll talk more college basketball as the season goes on. Australian Open update. Again, 40-36-2 so far on our sides and totals. 8-8 on our futures. With a +240 ROI, we got the 3 pending tickets And recapping a few of these, I tell you, Daniil Medvedev gets beat by the youngster team from the United States, Asian-American kid. I don't know how it happened. Medvedev came back from two sets down, was serving for the match, and still lost. We had a great, great 28-1 exacta set up for him and Djokovic. Djokovic now into the semifinals as he dumped Carlos Alcaraz. So we got Joker to win his quarter. That one cashes. We had Sasha Zverev to win his quarter. That one cashes also. So Djokovic comes through at plus 180. Zverev at plus or even money. Swiatek wins her quarter at minus 115. Sabalenka wins her quarter at minus 155. Madison Keys reaches the round of 16. She's all the way into the semifinals. Mira Andreeva reaches the round of 16 as well. So we got her. She actually lost to Sabalenka. Berrettini, we had him to lose in the second round. That one was a winner as well. Medvedev, Zverev, Medvedev, Alcaraz, Medvedev, Djokovic, those finalists did not come through. Alex de Minaur did exceed the third round. I thought he would get bumped out. Zverev to the quarters at minus 125. That one a winner as well. Sabalenka and Rybakina. That one no good as Rybakina gets upset. Sabalenka and Keys now. That exacta 33-1. We have that one pending. We have Sab and Swiatek at 6.5-1. And Sabalenka to reach the finals at plus 150. So we got a lot going on here. Sabalenka makes the final here, and we're going to have two tickets that actually cash. I said one earlier, but we'll have two. So pretty decent in tennis. Not great. Had some really tough beats on the totals. Had a couple of them. We had unders that lost by a half or overs lost by a half, but that's the way it goes. Overall, I think that it was a solid tournament. First of the year. The really most difficult thing about it, and PSG gets one back against City, so that's now 2-1. Hardest thing about Australian Open is you just don't know who's playing, who has been peaking out in form, who has been using the preliminary tournaments up to that point to try and work on things, and then is coming ready, locked and loaded in the Australian Open. And one thing that you can say is you have a situation where you have a lot of the big guns. Zverev playing great tennis. Sinner playing great tennis. They're both in the semifinals. Djokovic, now with Andy Murray as his coach, seems re-inspired. He beat Alcaraz relatively easily yesterday. He looks very fresh and very, very good right now. And then Ben Shelton, hard server, fast surface, continues to get better. He'll be tough to beat. I don't think he'll be able to beat any of those three guys right now. And most likely it's going to be Joker and Sinner in the final there. I'm not sure if Joker has enough for him, but mental game-wise, he can't out-execute Sinner. So that should be an interesting one, although if we get Zverev in there as well, it'll be very interesting. I doubt Shelton makes the final, but you never do know. And then on the ladies' side, Coco Gauff, a little bit disappointing from her. Emma Navarro had a good run, but just couldn't get by Iga Swiatek. I thought she would give Swiatek a little bit more. Rybakina was a little bit of a disappointment, but we knew Keys would be strong on the hard court, so we had her going very deep. And then Sabalenka, she is the girl to beat. She is just fantastic on these hard surfaces. No place better than the Australian Open for the Belarusian as she continues to just be fantastic on these hard courts. Karolina Mikova, a little bit of a disappointment there. You got Naomi Osaka starting to get back to form, beat her there, and then had to bow out with an injury next. So kind of unfortunate for Mikova, who if she were to have beaten Osaka, she still may be in this. But nonetheless, a pretty good final four in both the women's and the men here in Australia. And it's sad to see it go already. I definitely am sad about that. Here's, you're listening to Better's Last Stand, show number 116 from the Watchdog Studios, Pine Room Watchdog Studios in downtown Wheeling here on a Friday afternoon, getting you ready for your weekend high school basketball action on the Watchdog this evening. John Marshall and Morgantown coming up at 7 o'clock. You can hear that one on WKKX, WBOI, and WatchdogNetwork.com. College basketball you can hear here as well with the Mountaineers, the guys and the ladies here, all their games carried here on the Watchdog Network. And we have a large, large Rolodex of high school games coming your way here in the coming days and weeks. Golf action, as I said, the Farmers Insurance Open kicked off already, teed off, really. And they are at, where are we at here? Torrey Pines, I believe. Yeah, Torrey Pines in San Diego. And field not great again. So I wasn't enamored with the field. I think that maybe you'll see some of the better guys start to come back on tour here in the coming days. But a few guys I played, it was on BLS_PRP if you missed them. By this point, you're listening to it. It started Wednesday, so it's finishing on Saturday to stay away from the NFL. So maybe you want to bet some of these guys on the Saturday round. I don't know, Friday round here today. You can do, I think, Dumfries just scored. You got Inter Milan going up 2-0. Justin Rosa played him at 65-1. I played Max Grierson, who's about 24-1, had a good finish last week. Joseph Bramlett, 145-1. Steven Yeager at 60-1. Michael Tor Bjornsson at 80-1. Taylor Montgomery at 300-1. Will Zalatoris, who we talked about a couple of weeks ago, and even last week I mentioned that I didn't pencil him in, but I probably should have because I was waiting for him to start to get back to form. He's a really good player. He was out with the injuries. He's starting to come back into form. Could be a major factor here come Masters time. But Zalatoris playing better, got him at 24-1, and then Aaron Rye won last year 50-1. So those were our plays at the Farmers Insurance Open. Again, that was a Wednesday start, so a day behind BLS_PRP. You could have found those ones on Tuesday night. Should you be interested in events like that in the future, please check it out. Baseball, I talked about these last week, but I'll remind everybody again, some early baseball plays that I liked. I like the Royals over 82 wins. I like the Reds over 78.5 wins. I like the Giants over 79.5 wins. I like the Washington Nationals over 69.5 wins. We'll talk extensively about baseball here in the coming weeks, getting ready for the season, giving you a few more win totals, maybe some player awards, maybe some player stat category type leaders, and also divisions and to make the playoffs. A couple unders I like: the Twins under 83.5, the Cubs under 86.5. Division winners, I thought 6-1 on the Reds was fair. I think they can win that division. Kansas City at 4-1 in the AL Central, I think, makes a lot of sense. And then to make the playoffs, the Nationals, a little bit of a long price, 750. And then you got Cincinnati at about 240, plus 240, and the Giants at plus 210. So that's where I'm leaning with the baseball futures right now. We'll have more about those in the coming weeks here on Bettors Last Stand. Hockey-wise, we have some first period data to update you on. And the first period, the numbers are kind of drying up a little bit, I will say. The percentages aren't as strong. So, excuse me, I've been looking at the last 10 games to look for some stronger trends. And right now, in the first period, overs the last 10 games, you have the Blackhawks and the Flyers. Both were 9-1. Buffalo and Montreal both 7-3 their last 10 first periods. So those are some teams with some good trends in the first period. Goal in the first 10. Now, this was interesting last. This could only happen to someone like me, and you understand this if you're an everyday grinder. Goal in the first 10. Detroit and Philadelphia played each other last night. Wow, PSG ties the game at 2. Wow, what a comeback. They're down 2-0, ties the game at 2. What a game in Paris right now. Going to first 10, Philadelphia and Detroit play each other last night. Both of them 10-0 to the over in the first period, or goal in the first 10, 10-0 to yes, goal in the first 10 in their last 10 games. Both teams. So a combined 20-0. Well, guess what? Scoreless at the end of one. Scoreless at the end of one. Not only did they not get a goal in the first 10, they didn't even get a goal in the first 20 minutes of play. So, of course, I had that. That was a loser. So, they're both 9-1 right now, along with Chicago, all on 9-1 runs, goal in the first 10 minutes of the game. Second period overs, Toronto 33-14 overall, 7-3 in their last 10. Edmonton 31-15 overall, 9-1 in their last 10 games. And the Buffalo Sabres 31-16 overall, 7-3 in second period overs in their last 10. Third period overs, Chicago Blackhawks again 36-10, 6-4 run right now. So that's not that great. It's just 60%. But 60% in the betting world is all right. VGK, that's Vegas Golden Knights, 35-11 on the season, 7-3 run to third period overs right now. Winnipeg 35-12 and a 7-3 run, 70% in their last 10 in the third period. ECHL, Nailers in first place. They got 54 points. They return home to take on Kansas City beginning tonight over at West Bank Arena. We'll have three games over there, 7-10 tonight, 7-10 tomorrow. That's 80s night with a concert after the game. Should be a great, great concert following the game against Kansas City. And then Sunday afternoon, the 4-10 puck drop. So 7-10 tonight, 7-10 tomorrow, 4-10 on Sunday over at West Bank Arena. Check out the Kansas City Mavericks, who are in town taking on our Wheeling Nailers, who are really red hot right now. I mean, I don't know if I would call them red hot. Mirashov just got called up, which could be an issue. But you still have Taylor Gauthier and imagine Jackson Caster, the goalie who was at Wilkes, will now be back down with Wheeling. So that still makes them a pretty formidable duo between the pipes. So we'll see what happens here. I believe Kyle Jackson may still be out of the lineup. I think he was on a 14-day IR, so that could be an issue. But The Nailers playing great hockey right now, first place in the North Division, and they're worth checking out anytime you can get over there. That is for sure. Soccer action. We got lots going on here, but first, let me remind you a few things that are going on here on the Watchdog. Of course, you got high school basketball this evening with Morgantown and John Marshall in hoops action, 7 o'clock here on the Watchdog Network, WKKX and WVLY. And each and every week, we try to remind you Monday, Tuesday on the Pine Room Watchdog shows here on Monday afternoon, 2 to 3, 12 to 3 on Tuesday, 12 to 3 on Friday of our upcoming schedule with the weather. We've had a lot of things changing around. Central and Lindsley doing battle today in an afternoon matinee game, a 4-6 girls and boys doubleheader over at Lindsley. So a lot happening here. We'll keep you apprised of everything. WatchdogNetwork.com. You can find all those streams for the high school games and when they're on the regular networks as well. And you can also look us up on social media at WatchdogWV on X. You can find out the latest schedule as well as at the Pine Room Studios on our social media to keep you apprised of all the ever-changing schedules, guests on our show each week. And yeah, as the high school basketball season rages on and we maybe start to get out of the worst of the weather, we'll probably have a little bit more of a stable schedule. But guys are doing the best they can to get you the action that you need here around the Ohio Valley during this basketball season. So stay tuned to Watchdog Network all season long, and it won't be long. It'll be springtime. It'll be baseball talk here on the Watchdog. Also, let me remind you that we have our regular – well, I already reminded you of that. So I don't need to remind you of that again. You already know the Pine Room Watchdog shows on Monday, Tuesday, and Friday each and every week. We do our Nailing It Down segment on the Friday show each and every week around the 2 o'clock hour. So we'll talk Nailers during that. So if you're interested in the Nailers, you can find out more about them during that segment of the show. At thepineroomstudios.com, not at, but pineroomstudios.com, our website, you can find the latest things that are going on with the Pine Room Studios, all of our podcasts, and everything that will be under the Pine Room Studios umbrella. You can find there as well as our YouTube page at the Pine Room Studios on YouTube. All right, so we told you, we started the show by telling you we were up 12.45 units on the week. We got good runs going in the NFL right now, 43-29, 60%. Over the last month, we were 4-2 in our sides. Last week, Premier League Soccer, we're 17-11 last weekend. EPL in the last month, 64%, 55-29-2. And then the Champions League already on Tuesday, 8-2 to start our week off. Let's go through some bad beats. Man, I didn't even get into basketball because you had enough tricky ones here in football. Now, the first one here, I'll argue with people. I know there are people out there that had this as a bad beat. However, if you had the Chiefs -9.5 on Saturday evening afternoon of the playoff game against Houston, if you bet them at 9.5, that's your fault. You should not have done that. They were 8-8.5 the entire week. They close at 9.5. Late Chief money comes in, and oh my, Kansas City takes a safety to put it on 9 with just a few seconds left in the game. A gut wrencher if you had that. But again, if you haven't been around this racket for a long time, or you're just getting started into it, or you're just learning about sports betting since this became legalized in West Virginia, Ohio, Pennsylvania, all the surrounding states here. If you're new to this, then I don't blame you, but you don't want to take numbers like that. That's one of the things. You need to watch these numbers. You need to see where they're at. You need to look at the line, what it originally opened at. That is more important than what the line actually is at the time. You got to put 2 and 2 together there. So if you're seeing the 9.5, you should have went and said, oh man, this thing was 8 earlier. I better not bet this right now. It's just not worth it. I know you try to get on the line moves and things like that, but you got to try to beat the number, and the closing line value was not there at 9.5. It was an unforced error. If you like the Chiefs, you probably, when it went from 8 to 8.5, you probably should have got on it then. You shouldn't have waited for it to go another point. So I've heard people who have been doing this for 40 and 50 years that were pretty ticked off about that 9 beating them when they had the Chiefs -9.5. But they should have known better. They know that the getting the number, the bad number late like that, is not the way you want to do business there. So should have had the 8.5, should have had the 8. Should have been a lot of winners in that game for sure with the closing 9.5, finishing 23-14. Then you go over to Philadelphia. Jake Elliott, multiple missed kicks again as the Rams cover against Philadelphia. So you had Philly -6.5 or 7. There were some sixes out there. I think I actually got I had two bets on this game, six, and then I had a six and seven as well. So one was a push, one was a win. But Philly gets the job done, 28-22. It was not impressive by any means. And then the Ravens, oh my, multiple turnovers for the Ravens in the game. And it's not just Mark Andrews, the drop pass. It was the fumble that he had. Lamar Jackson, inexcusable fumble and an inexcusable interception. I'm so tired of hearing how great this guy is, because as a Ravens backer, I watched the games, and I'm telling you, he's not as good as everybody thinks he is. He's a tremendous athletic talent, but he's not a great quarterback mind, and he makes too many mistakes, and he's never going to win a big game, and I don't see it ever happening. But listen to this. The Ravens become the only team ever in the NFL to outgain its opponents by over 100 yards. They had 143 total yards advantage over the Bills. They out first down the Bills 23-20. They never punted one time in the game. Not one punt in the game. They missed no kicks. They missed no PAT, extra points from Justin Tucker, or field goals. They did miss a two-pointer, of course. And what was the other one? Oh, yeah, okay. So they did not miss a kick. They did not punt. They out first downed, and they outgained their opponents, and they still lost the game. It's unthinkable. And the only way you do that is turn it over three times. Two of them on Lamar Jackson, one of them on Mark Andrews. Yeah, blame Mark Andrews for dropping the two-pointer, but there was no guarantee that the Ravens were going to win that game. There was tons of times, a minute and 40 to go in a game. Buffalo could have went down there. Now Tyler Bass has not been good, so maybe it would have worked out, and the Ravens could have pulled it out. But yeah, Mark Andrews has to make that catch. Terrible throw by Jackson, by the way. Andrews still has to bail him out and make the play. Bad job by him. But the fumble for Mark Andrews was even worse. You had a terrible pass interference call against the Ravens down in the red zone, which would have stopped the Buffalo on a third down. They would have had to kick a field goal, or at least try to. Pathetically bad call, and Josh Allen ends up scoring. But as far as the MVP goes, Josh Allen took care of the ball and Lamar Jackson didn't. He wins the MVP. He's the better player. He's the guy you would trust in a big game. And he's probably the only guy that's going to be able to knock off Mahomes. All right, industry news. Developing scandal here. Wow, we talked about last week's scandal with the Jontae Porter. And on that front, a guy named Timothy McCormick pleaded guilty for his role in the Jontae Porter betting scandal. He was the fourth guy that was charged and pled guilty in that so far. That was the Toronto Raptors player who is faking an eye injury and trying to get people to bet his unders to cash tickets. Very stupid idea. Well, this one might be even worse. Developing scandal here. Eastern Michigan basketball is being investigated for suspicious betting after a trend of unusual action on the first halves of multiple Eastern Michigan games this season became noticed by several licensed sports books. The most recent game in question was Eastern Michigan and Central Michigan, the Chippewas, which saw strange action at multiple books in Tennessee and Connecticut. The Betting Integrity Compliance 360 company issued an alert last week stating that it also discovered two high-stakes wagers in two other jurisdictions, both on Central Michigan first-half lines, which opened Central Michigan -3.5, got bet all the way up to 6.5 on a first-half number just hours before tip-off. The second game in question was Wright State in Eastern Michigan. Wright State led 38-27 at halftime. Eastern Michigan ended up going on winning that game 86-82. But massive red flags. When I read this first, and if you want to read the full article, David Purdom on ESPN, he got this story and broke it down pretty good for you so you can get all the extra details in there. Check him out. But the massive red flag to me is working in this industry, and if you're not familiar with it, first half wagering is just something that's been around for, I mean, maybe 15 years in the masses, and like really got noticed. Like a lot of books wouldn't even have first half numbers on a lot of low level college basketball games like this. Now, in the last 6, 7, 8 years, they we've started to add them, but this wasn't something that even got bet on years back. You'd have to be maybe in Nevada, overseas, some markets, some places would have it. A lot of books didn't have it, so a lot of places didn't even offer this. So anyway, the point is about half. Maybe I want to say even more than half. I saw some people saying half the action. At our place, I would say 75 or 80% would be like that's how much more significant action is on the full game versus as the half. So I'm saying like 20% of our wager handle is on a first half of a game. Well, this immediately showed that there was a problem. When you have more money in the first half pool on a game, especially a MAC game, That is an immediate red flag. And people I know are against legalized sports betting, maybe not people that are listening to us here or watching the show, but a lot of people were against this. And a lot of people said, oh, this is just going to make games fixed, and this is going to make betting more match fixing, and people that are officials that are betting on games is going to be more prominent now. But no, it's the actual reverse. If this is a legal bookmaker, this is like taboo, and this is not something that people want to or have regulated, then this isn't even going to get noticed. This is going to be something that someone's going to go get their legs broken over, but it's not going to get noticed. There's not going to be a story about it. There's not going to be information out there about it. You have a massive pool of money coming in on a first half of a MAC game where a number moves 3 points. That is an absolute red flag. That would be red flag to any book. Any book with a trained personnel and staff that would have any clue at all on your second day on the job, and as time goes on, you're going to be able to pick this stuff up. You immediately know that is a no-no. Immediately a red flag there. So anyway, that being investigated, not sure what's all going on there, if players are involved in it. Sure seems like they might be. Maybe what they're trying to do to justify their actions is get beat in the first half, let the other team cover the number in the first half, and then play hard for their integrity in the second half. As you saw, Wright State was winning at halftime by 11, and then they ended up losing the game. So I'm thinking that maybe Eastern Michigan could be on the side of that. I don't want to indict anybody yet without the full facts coming out. But if you're going to be doing things and try to get something over on a sports book or something like that, or a bookmaker, you don't want to do it in a first half market, especially not in Tennessee and Connecticut and in smaller books where it's going to get noticed immediately. You don't want to see $10,000 being bet on a MAC first half game. That is immediately going to draw a red flag. So if you're trying to get money together and manipulate outcomes, hopefully you would never do that because you will go to prison at some point. But you don't want to do it in the first half. That's a big, big mistake. And obviously the people that were involved in this are people that don't understand this game very well, because that is an immediate red flag that's going to get noticed by just about anybody. Iowa legislature, they're proposing a bill to prohibit proxy betting. This kind of goes hand in hand in a way, which would be a Class D felony. Could lead up to 5 years in prison on 5 years in prison for wagers over $500. So this is basically, we've had issues like this in many places. I can speak from experience. Obviously, I can't give any details on the matter, but we did have a situation like this, and this is very common. You see proxy betting. You see people violating Wire Act, whether you're on the phone, whether you're calling in bets, whether you're logging on people's apps from in the state when they're out of the state. All that stuff's going to get cracked down on. It is very, very common. You're seeing these consortiums across the country where you're having proxies and they are in different states and you're getting action in different states when it's not you. So I don't know how they're ever going to separate those if people pool their money together and they try to cover all the bases and make it legit. But be aware, proxy betting is very, very much frowned upon. And I'm not talking about a wife going to place bets for her husband or something like that. Not the same thing. I'm talking about someone in Idaho calling in bets to someone in Ohio, trying to find a better number on an edge on a game that they maybe have inside info on, and then hitting the book in Cincinnati and vice versa. So there's a lot of it out there. You need to be, don't want to be a part of that. If someone's asking you to do that, you should say, no, I can't do it. It's just too risky. You can lose your betting privileges in multiple states and can even get charged with a Class D felony in Iowa. So be careful out there, people. Mind your P's and Q's, so to speak. You don't want to be involved in any of this stuff right now. You don't want to be the Alabama coach giving out inside info to people in baseball like we had last year, and then Jaunte Porter, and then Eastern Michigan and Temple last year. There's a lot of it there, but the regulation is what is finding out these people that are trying to pull fast ones and trying to partake in criminal acts. So remember that. And the next time somebody tells you that legalized betting is a bad thing, it's not. A bettor in Ohio at BetR wagered $485,000 on Notre Dame plus 8.5. Oh boy. OSU, of course, beats Notre Dame 34-23. I found that one a little bit weird. Maybe they were dumping off some money, at a book. I don't know. That's a weird one, but you don't normally, if you would think they would be dumping in Ohio State. Could have been someone driving in from Indiana, though. I don't know exactly where that is. Remember, Ohio and Indiana border each other, so you got to remember that. If you're an Indiana book and you're looking to dump some money in an illegal bookmaker, dumping some money in another state, and again, I'm not trying to indict anybody here. Don't know the specifics of this either, but that would immediately have crossed my mind if I was a book on the border of Indiana and Ohio, that why in the world am I getting a sizable wager like this on Notre Dame in the state of Ohio? That would seem a little bit fishy, but maybe not. Notre Dame is a big brand. Look ahead lines. These ones are pretty interesting for next year. Of course, Ohio State already installed as the 5-1 favorite. Georgia at 6-1. Texas 7-1. Oregon 8-1. Penn State 10-1. Alabama 12-1. Notre Dame 20-1. Hard to make any judgments on these yet because you have a situation where you have no idea what these rosters are even going to look like. Quarterbacks still in play, musical chairs, NIL, money coming in and out, people getting $10 million offers to play. Quinn Ewers, who's horrible, is getting offers like $8 million to play quarterback for some of these teams. And wow, PSG, three straight goals to now lead Manchester City 3-2. Oh, wow. Never saw that one coming at all. All right, keeping it rolling here. Big bet so far on the NFL games this week. We had a $1.3 million bet on Kansas City money line against Buffalo. -130 would win $1 million. So, wow. But, hey, if you're going to put $1 million on something, I sure would want it to be Patrick Mahomes. He would be a guy that I would trust. Updated Super Bowl future odds right now. Philadelphia +185. Kansas City +220. Buffalo +250. And Washington $7. Now, I did find this very interesting. Futures markets have Philadelphia the favorite to win the Super Bowl. I'm assuming it's because they think Washington's the lowest power-rated team, but if you have a look-ahead spot here, Kansas City, according to my numbers and what I've seen some other places, Kansas City is going to be favored against Philadelphia in the game. So I guess what they're saying is it's harder for Kansas City to be able to beat Buffalo and Philly than it is for Philly to beat Washington and then and or Kansas City or Buffalo. I don't necessarily agree with that. I think Washington's on par, and the way that they're playing right now, winning seven in a row, I think they're a legit contender. But if the matchups turn out like this, Buffalo -4.5 against Washington, a total 53.5. If it's Philly and Buffalo, it'll be Philly -1.5 and the total 47.5. If it's KC and Washington, it'll be the Chiefs -4.5, the total 49.5. And then, as I said, Kansas City will be a 1.5-point favorite, roughly. These obviously could change based on injuries or anything like that. Jalen Hurts, you just don't know. Mahomes gets his leg rolled on. Whatever. You got 2 weeks at least to heal up. KC will be 1 and 45.5 against the Eagles. All right, rolling along here. Bettor's Last Stand, show number 116 here on the Watchdog Network, getting you ready for high school basketball action this evening. 7 o'clock, it'll be John Marshall, Morgantown, here on the Watchdog, Watchdog Network, and WVOI and WKKX, getting you ready for the weekend, NFL playoffs, conference championship weeks. But we got soccer to talk about first. Oh, man, you got to want to talk about soccer. I know people probably don't, but if you're playing these games right now, we are having a really strong run in Premier League and Champions League football right now. Just talking a few things here about the Premier League, and then we'll talk. Actually, let me hit on Champions League right now. We have matches going on right now, a couple of futures. Next week's Wednesday card for the Champions League, every team plays on match day 8, and then they'll advance to the knockout stage of the tournament. Some of these teams will get byes. There's a lot on the line, but I don't have any numbers on any of these games yet because they're still finishing up matches today. So, BLS _PRP is where you're going to want to be on Monday and Tuesday. You'll see my plays for Wednesday on there immediately as soon as I get the matchups, the prices, who's going to play, situational things like that. Who's in, who's out, who's still alive, who isn't, who is safe, all those factors. But looking ahead at some futures that I thought were worth a look, Atletico Madrid playing really, really good football. They come back and won yesterday, down a man, fantastic performance. They're 22-1. I'm not saying they'll win at all, but I think they can make a decent run. PSG, I had them down here at 40-1. I was like, oh, man, I may be way wrong on them as they fell down 2-0 when they rally for three goals, three straight against Manchester City. So I think PSG at 40-1, little undervalued. Not a great team now with Mbappe gone and obviously Messi and all the greats that they had there. But they still have some decent players. Dembele scored earlier. So 40-1 on PSG I thought made sense. 22-1 on Atletico made sense. Spain, one of the Spanish teams to win it all, +205. Really good value on this one because then you get Real Madrid, who's winning 5-0 right now. You had Barcelona come back and win an incredible game against Benfica yesterday. They're playing great. They're going to be through. And then you got Atletico. So you got three really good teams that could win it from Spain. So I think two to one on... Wow, Dembele just scored again, a fourth goal for PSG offside. So still 3-2. But Spain at plus 205, one of those three teams could win it all. I would say they're going to be a very good price on all of them. And then some value, I thought Real Madrid at 6-1, Barcelona 6-1, two teams I just mentioned right there. You could just do it like that if you wanted to, 6-1, 6-1, 22-1 on Atletico. And then Bayern Munich, who right now is getting beat 2-0 by Feyenoord, which I find to be a little bit of a surprise, so I'd probably scratch them. 6-1 seems a tad bit low on them. All right, EPL action here, getting ready for Saturday's card in the Premier League. And boy, oh boy, we have been absolutely red hot. I just can't stop saying this because we've been so good. 55-29 over the last month. We were 17-11-1 last week. All right, Newcastle and Southampton, this game at Southampton. Southampton, a big, big dog here, plus $6. Newcastle, minus 250. Southampton has 3 points in their last 12 matches. They've been horrible. They're just a doormat. Newcastle's won six straight in the series against Southampton. Newcastle's off a, I don't want to call it a bad loss because Bournemouth is playing tremendous. But Newcastle got their brains beat in at home, which doesn't happen very often at St. James's Park. So they're not going to be happy. I think they come out and they absolutely bury Southampton here. We'll go Newcastle minus 1.25 on the Asian handicap. That should get you around a plus price, which I thought was very fair. I might even round it up to 1.75 or 1.5 to get an even better price on Newcastle. Everton at Brighton. Brighton minus 155, plus 455 on Everton. Everton has been a lot more competitive in recent days. They're scrappy. They've been playing pretty well. Brighton is unbeaten in seven. They've won three straight. Both teams have scored five of the last six in this matchup. The road team has taken points in eight straight. So that would say Everton will have a shot here. I've been a little bit worried about Brighton. I'm not saying they're bad, but they've given me a little bit of a pause about how good I think that they actually are. So I'm a tad bit worried about Brighton as Celtic with a late winner. Wow, what a mistake that was in the back by Young Boys. Oh, geez. Anyway, back to Everton. I think Everton or draw is worth it at a plus price. I think you can get a decent one there. Both teams to score. I think this game could be around 1-1, so go with that as well. But the road teams have had success in that fixture. Ipswich at Liverpool. Liverpool minus 1,100. Ipswich plus 1,900. Ipswich embarrassed by Manchester City at the weekend. They have not won at Anfield since the 90s. It's not going to happen this time. Three of the last four over in this matchup, I think. Get on the 3.5s if you can find them out there. I think this will be an over game. I would imagine it'll be Liverpool in several goals. So we're going to go over 3.5 in that one. Arsenal at Wolves. Arsenal minus 220 on the road. Wolves plus $6. Man, Arsenal's won seven in a row in the series. Wolves have been kind of weird, though. They've been terrible for the most part. They were terrible against Chelsea on Monday. But sometimes they'll surprise you out of nowhere. They're a very erratic team. I don't think it's going to happen this time. Even though Arsenal's on the road, we're going to go over 2.5, though, here. I think there'll be goals. I think there'll definitely be goals. Wolves, good enough to mess up at the back and score on themselves, and they're also good enough to push forward and get a goal or draw a penalty or something like that. So we'll go over 2.5 in Arsenal and Wolves. Nottingham Forest at Bournemouth. Nobody harder than Bournemouth. Bournemouth open plus 120, down to even money right now. Forest plus 255, and Forest is playing great. They're unbeaten in 9. Bournemouth's unbeaten in 11. Both teams to score, I think, is a really, really good bet right now. The last five matchups between these two have been, both teams have scored in those. And then three of the last five have been draws in this matchup. I think a draw is worth it. Maybe a little nibble on Bournemouth or the draw. I do think Bournemouth right now in better form than Forest is in at home. They're playing exceptional. And if you really want to get interesting here, Chris Wood for Nottingham Forest has been scoring at will. And then Patrick Kluivert, the great Dutchman's son, both have been scoring massive amounts of goals right now for their teams, both in great form. Parlay those two together, each to score an anytime goal. That'll get you 8-1 on that one. So that's Chris Wood and Justin Kluivert for Bournemouth, Chris Wood for Nottingham Forest, 8-1 for both of them to score. I think it's definitely worth it because they are scoring the goals for their teams, and they both take penalties for their teams too. So could be a key one in a tight matchup. Manchester City hosts Chelsea. Manchester City about to blow a massive lead here, and this is coming at the wrong time for them. Chelsea, they haven't beat City since 2021, so they're due for that. Somebody getting sent off here for Celtic, it looks like. But they lead 1-0. Anyway, Chelsea at Manchester City. Manchester City's got a massive game. If they lose this game, they got a few more minutes left here against PSG. If they don't get at least a point out of this, they're facing elimination from the Champions League. That is catastrophic. So I'm not sure they're going to be real focused on this Chelsea game. This could be a really good play for Chelsea here. I do like the under here. I think, although after this, after they've been giving up goals for fun, I'm a little bit worried about that. But we're going to go with the under. I'll have these official plays, BLS underscore PRP, if I change anything. This could be a match that I have to, because I'm not certain Manchester City's going to put out much of a team other than a few regulars, because they're going to have to beat Bruges at Bruges next week, and that's not going to be an easy game at all. So we're going under 3.5 Chelsea and City on Saturday. Sunday action, Leicester and Tottenham. Tottenham is a team you cannot bet under. Now, it's over with. I'm done betting them under. I'm never doing it again. They are the Jekyll and Hyde of this league. They can beat the best team. They could lose to the worst team. You can't trust them, but one thing you're going to be able to trust is they're going to push forward no matter what. They can be down 6-0. They can be up 6-0. They're going to take risks. They're going to make stupid plays. So I think both teams to score, Leicester and Tottenham, is a really good idea. Both teams have scored in the last six meetings, and Tottenham is so careless, they will have goals against and goals for. So we'll go over 3.5 in both teams to score in that one. Brentford at Crystal Palace. Palace plus 105, plus 250 on Brentford. Brentford just has just two wins in their last 10. Their form has not been very good. Crystal Palace's form starting to round into play. I like what I'm seeing out of them. So a London derby here. I like Crystal Palace plus, I think you're getting a good price on them, plus 105, 110 even, I'm seeing a couple places. So I think that's a really good bet. Both teams to score. They've scored at least one goal each in their last five meetings. I think this will have goals. So we're going with Crystal Palace and both teams to score. West Ham and Aston Villa. Another London derby on Sunday afternoon. West Ham plus 475 right now. Villa minus 185. Villa, the far better team right now. They're playing really, really well. They've won their last two at home. They play Celtic, though. They host Celtic on Wednesday. Don't think that's going to be a massive game for them. I think they're safe. Both teams to score has hit in the last five between these two. West Ham, though, just doesn't show me much. I'd be worried about them scoring a goal in this game. They may get shut out. Villa's better. I'm playing Villa on the Asian handicap minus 1.25 to get a plus price there. You can play them with the money line at minus 175, minus 160 range. But we're going with Aston Villa in that one. And then Manchester United at Fulham. Fulham plus 130, down from the opener of plus 150. United plus 210, 240 on the draw. Both teams to score, I think, is a good one here. Three of the last four actually have went under 3.5. I still think this will be a game that probably be like a 2-1, but I like Fulham here. I take Fulham the plus price at home. They're playing much better than Manchester United, who's still a mess. So we'll go with Fulham at home in that one. So that's our English Premier League card for this week. We'll again have those at BLS underscore PRP, and we'll have the Champions League match day number 8 before we get into the knockout stage of the Champions League in the coming weeks. The final day of Champions League football on Wednesday of next week here. Bettors Last Stand show number 116. We're winding it down. It's time to talk NFL here on the Watchdog, getting you ready for the weekend. Conference championship games on Sunday afternoon. It'll be the AFC and the NFC. It'll be the NFC game first. 3:00 kickoff on Fox. You have the Philadelphia Eagles minus 6 at home. The total 47.5. A lot of question marks in this game for me. I thought the Eagles played just okay, and if they don't have Saquon Barkley, obviously that's easy to just say that, but they have a good roster. The Eagles have one of the best, maybe the best roster, top to bottom in the entire league, but they haven't really looked great, other than Barkley. The Rams, I thought, if they don't turn the ball over twice, two massive turnovers, and the Rams still had a chance. Puka Nacua gets that big pass down the sidelines. You're thinking, oh my Lord, the Eagles might lose this game, and then Jalen Carter makes the play of the game on a third down, sacking Stafford. They couldn't get anything on fourth down in the blizzard there in Philadelphia. Man, the Rams, they cover for us, but man, they couldn't get the job done. I thought they really, really had a shot on winning that game. I'd be a little bit worried here. Washington, I've heard mixed emotions on this. I thought Washington, they played the game of their lives against Detroit, but Detroit was a very beat-up defense. I think Washington's offense is really matured. I think their defense has matured even more, which makes me think they have a shot in this game. I've heard conflicting opinions. I've heard many, many, many self-proclaimed or really legitimate experts picking the Redskins, but more people on the Eagles. I'd be worried if I was an Eagle backer. Jalen Hurts is a definite concern. Their passing game has not been very good. Redskins just beat him a couple of weeks ago. That was the game that Kenny Pickett came in. But I really like the way Washington is playing right now. They have scored, or they have won 7 straight games. I mean, they're playing great football. I said it for weeks. Something about Philly seems off with me. The A.J. Brown thing. Sirianni's a strange cat. They just don't seem on the same page. And if Hurts is hurt, Barkley is then having to bail them out. I think their defense, I'm not saying it's getting exposed, but the Rams hit them on a lot of big plays, and they could have had a lot more would they have held on to the football, which is a problem. I don't think Washington's going to have the same problem. So I'm looking for the Commanders. I don't like calling them that. The Redskins, that is. I think the Redskins hang in this game. So look for this line. You saw it get bet up to 6.5. It was around 6. If it gets to 6.5 or 7, I'm on Washington for sure. Not sure they can beat them, but the kicking game right now, big problem for the Eagles. So that could rear its ugly head. Jake Elliott has been really bad. So I like this game under. I think both teams are going to realize that possessions are going to be at a premium. I know they just played it over a few weeks ago. It looks like an easy over with all the points the Redskins scored last week. The Rams and Eagles game goes over in the blizzard, which we had. Something about this game says this is going to be played really, really tight. And if Jalen Hurts is not 100%, I think you're going to see the Eagles really, really ride Barkley. I think Dan Quinn gets his defense prepared for that and says, beat me with Hurts. Beat me with Hurts. Now, A.J. Brown, on the other hand, we're going to get to a few player props that I like in this game momentarily, but A.J. Brown has had a lot of target share against the Redskins. So we're going to go under in the game of 47.5. We're going to play the Skins at 6 or better. And a couple player props here that I thought were interesting. Austin Eckler, over 25 receiving yards. He had 8 for 89 against Philly in the first matchup. He didn't play in the second one, so I think that one is a little bit undervalued there. 25, he was involved last week against the Lions, and if you think the Redskins will be behind it all, you got to figure Eckler's going to get some time in there, and 25 yards to him could be one play. A.J. Brown, over 4.5 receptions. He was targeted 23 times in the two games against the Redskins. He had 13 catches in those two games, so we're going to go over with A.J. Brown, 4.5 receptions. We're going over Austin Eckler with 25.5 receiving yards for him. Moving over to the AFC game, 6:30 kickoff on CBS. Bills at Chiefs once again. Wow, what a matchup. Chiefs -2, total 47.5. Both teams to score on the first drive, to me, stuck out right away. I think both these teams have come out ready to go. I thought the Chiefs were a little bit rusty last week. A lot of people will tell you that the Chiefs got outplayed. I don't think that. There was never a point where I thought the Chiefs were going to lose that game. They didn't play very sharp, but Kelce bails them out again. And you could have made a case that all of the teams, for the exception of the Lions and the Texans, I guess you could make the argument. I don't see the Texans. The Lions probably could have won their game. The Rams definitely could have won their game, and the Ravens definitely could have won their game. So you had a situation where you had four teams win. Maybe three of them didn't even really deserve to win, but they did enough to get the job done. Another thing that I thought was interesting in this matchup, the Bills beat the Chiefs in the regular season, which they've done before, but they can't seem to get it done in the playoffs. Mahomes had two picks in that game. One of them wasn't his fault. One of them wasn't a good idea. So you think that's going to happen again at Arrowhead? This last game was at Buffalo. Everything's set up perfectly for Buffalo. Buffalo's good. I'm not trying to discredit them or anything. I think they're a good team. I don't think they're as good as Kansas City. I know everybody hates Kansas City and is sick of Kansas City, but Kansas City is a really well-built team. They have the right people for the team that they have. They know how to press the right buttons. Their defense is really good. They got the best quarterback in the league. They just know how to win games, and they got a great coach. So, great defensive coordinator. I'm very, very high on the Chiefs here. I like the Chiefs -2. Also like this game over. I think there'll be some points here. I think the Chiefs will score more points in this game than they have in a while, because I think that the Bills' defense is very gettable. If the Ravens don't have some massive turnovers, three critical turnovers in that game, I think the Ravens probably win that game by probably two scores, maybe even more than that. So I think the Chiefs will get points here, and I think that'll lend to an over 47.5. I think Chiefs -2. I like the Chiefs in the first half, -0.5. I think they will do a pretty good job there. And then I think both teams will score on their first drive, and I like the first quarter over 9.5. Couple of things to go on, past experiences in the playoffs. In 2021, you had Kansas City, who they were a -3-point favorite. The game was at Kansas City. They won the game by 14, 38-24. In 2022, KC, a 2.5-point home favorite. That was the OT game, 42-36, the game that the Bills all but had locked up with about 13 seconds left, and they did the unthinkable on the kickoff and let the Chiefs drive down, tie the game, and win in overtime. 2024, it was the Chiefs +2.5 at Buffalo. Chiefs win the game 27-24. We had that one here on Bettor's Last Stand. And I think what this shows you is the Bills, I'm not sure they're going to be able to get over this hump. I'm really not sure. I think Mahomes is kind of going to be almost too hard to penetrate for them. But we'll see a few player props in this game that I thought were worth it. Xavier Worthy, he's really, really been involved heavily in the offense. in recent weeks. Over 45.5 receiving yards. He had 4 for 61 in the first meeting, and that was before he was really a trusted cog in the offense for the Chiefs. Noah Gray had 2 catches, or I'm going to bet Noah Gray to have 2 catches or more. He had 4 and 2 touchdowns in the first game. Had a couple of catches against them last year as well. I like Noah Gray to have 2 receptions or more in the game because you're going to figure Travis Kelce's going to get paid attention to. But if you go back and look at Travis Kelce's playoff stats over the last few years, they are exceptional. In the biggest games, this dude steps up. I know he looked old and used up and ready to go get married and have kids and be done with football. But this dude came alive last week. He played really good. Yeah, he's slow. Yeah, he looks like he's ready to fall down and not get up. But he just knows how to get open. It's amazing the chemistry. Kelce to score a touchdown at plus 125, I think, is not priced correctly. He will be trusted in that red zone, no doubt about it. His matchups against the Bills in the playoffs look like this. 6 for 75, 2 touchdowns. 8 for 96 and a touchdown. 13 for 118 and 2 scores. That's what he's done to Buffalo in the playoffs the last 3 meetings. And then Hollywood Brown, we were on him last week. He dropped the 1 catch that he needed. It was a perfect ball by Mahomes. Perfect pass right inside the 5-yard line. Would have led the Chiefs to actually winning the game by even more points. He dropped it. Terrible job by him. I think he bounces back there. So we'll go over 36.5 yards receiving for Hollywood Brown. He only needs one play. He's an afterburner. They got him and Worthy to stretch the field. He only needs 1 catch pretty much. It will get him over 40 yards. He's a deep ball threat. So I think Hollywood Brown bounces back and Mahomes gets his guys going. So again, recapping. In the NFL here on Championship Sunday, we're going to go with the Redskins +6.5 or better, or 6 or better against the Eagles. We're going to go under 47.5 in that game. We're going with the Chiefs -2 and over 47.5. We're also going with the Chiefs first half -0.5 and the first quarter of Buffalo and Kansas City over 9.5. Also, like both teams to score on the first drive, you can get a nice plus price on that. That means if they each get a field goal, but I think scripted plays, points are going to be important. They're going to know they're going to need to maximize. So I think you're going to see both teams very, very, very locked in on their first drives. Austin Eckler over 25 receiving yards for the Redskins. A.J. Brown over 4.5 receptions for the Eagles. Xavier Worthy for the Chiefs over 45.5 receiving yards. Noah Gray to have 2 receptions or more for the Kansas City Chiefs. Travis Kelce to score at plus 125 against the Bills, and Hollywood Brown over 36.5 receiving yards. I would recommend playing Kelce over his yards, but total's a little bit inflated. And also, Saquon Barkley, maybe a play on the under of his rush yards, but I don't know. That seems tough. His yards are like 130 or something. It's astronomical. I've never really seen a rushing total that high. But should be 2 pretty decent games. Super Bowl coming up here in a few weeks, and we'll get you ready for that. We'll go through all the props and all the other goodies that come along with the Super Bowl here on Bettors Last Stand. That'll probably be on show number 118, maybe. We'll have a few things set up for next week, some early thoughts, but we'll wait till some of the numbers get put up for the big game here in a couple of weeks. That's going to do it for us here on Bettors Last Stand. Show number 116 coming to you on the Watchdog Network, watchdognetwork.com, WKKX, WVOY, high school basketball action tonight here on the Watchdog, WKKX and WVOY. Again, thanks to our Watchdog family. It's been a tumultuous winter here. We've had a lot of changes in the basketball schedule, but the Pine Room guys are keeping you apprised of all the local basketball teams here on the Watchdog Network. We're getting as many games in there as we can. We had some stream action. The guys did really, really well with that at the Central Lindsley game, and then Wheeling Park, Buchanan, Upshur the other day up at the Palace on the Hill. So good stuff here happening on the Watchdog Network. Again, thanks to Kayleen, Rocky, Howard, Lola, Bob, everybody here at the Watchdog Network for what they've done for us. We're happy to be a part of it. Hope you're enjoying Bettors Last Stand. Again, you can reach out to us anytime, BLS_PRP, or at the Pine Room Studios, our website, at the Pine Room Studios on social media, any of that stuff, and Watchdog Network WV. You can find all the up-to-date schedules for our college back. I keep saying college, but we do have college hoops here. You got the Mountaineers here on the Watchdog Network, but our high school action here with the Watchdog and the Pine Room Studios. That's going to do it for us. Have a wonderful weekend. Let's keep it rolling here. We were +1245 last week. Let's keep it going. Australian Open, soccer, hockey, basketball, football, of course. Enjoy your weekend, everybody. Stay warm, stay safe, and we'll see you back here for show 117 of Bettors Last Stand here on the Watchdog Network. Good night, everybody.